It's HPR, Helping Hand, airing statewide on HPR One stations Fridays during All Things Considered, then appearing online at hawaiipublicradio.org. That's where our Helping Hand segments are archived online. Friday's Helping Hand puts a spotlight on an organization, topic, or event that offers assistance to people with disabilities and animals and people who are among the most vulnerable. I'm Dave Lawrence, and this week we are learning about a nonprofit that we often hear about in the news, actually, and have heard about on Helping Hand through other organizations, and that is Hawaii Marine Animal Response. Yes, quite a famous name in the state. Their website said they are the largest Hawaii-based nonprofit marine species conservation and response organization. They do things like save injured or imperiled animals. They conduct species management, recovery, they inform and engage the public. Thousands of times a year, their website says they do field response and interventions, support, outreach. They're first responders to vulnerable and beloved area critters, as you probably know, or you will soon. We're thrilled to learn about their services that they offer to these animals, and they cannot get on the air and ask for help themselves. And in turn, how animal lovers and appreciative folks can support Hawaii Marine Animal Response. We're thrilled to have their development manager joining us on Helping Hand today, Whitney Beer Kerr. Whitney, aloha, mahalo, and welcome to Helping Hand.
Aloha, and thank you so much for having me.
You are so welcome. And first, explain for yourself the mission there, and I guess dial it in for folks on what animals you guys are helping the most often.
Sure. So our mission at Hawaii Marine Animal Response is to support the conservation of Hawaii's protected and endangered marine animals. And so the species that we work with are the Hawaiian monk seals and sea turtles like hawksbill and green sea turtles. We also work with a variety of seabirds on the islands and sometimes cetaceans as well, which are whales and dolphins.
So you guys, one question that people might have, and maybe it's a totally irrelevant one, but at least I have, what is your relationship as an organization to NOAA? Is there a relationship to NOAA?
Yes, we work in partnership with NOAA, as well as other federal organizations like Fish and Wildlife Service, state organizations like the Department of Land and Natural Resources, and other state groups like Hawaii Tourism Authority and other local nonprofits. So NOAA is a So we work with NOAA as one of their grantees. We receive a lot of our funding to carry out some of our activities in partnership with them.
On that note, how else do you guys get your funding and all?
We rely on public and private donations through foundations, and as well as grants and contracts through other organizations.
So getting the money from NOAA means that's some federal funding?
Yes, exactly.
Okay, and then is there local... Is there state or county government funding?
Not at this time. We do have a contract with Hawaii Tourism Authority that does provide some funding.
And you guys have a number of volunteers on your staff, too?
Yes, we have 80 to 100 volunteers at any one time. And as we continue to grow, we are trying to increase recruitment.
Okay, so that's something that we're going to be talking about today here, too. They have a bunch of different programs this year that people who love the critters and are living in the Aloha State could get involved in. Now, in terms of volunteers, would that be you guys that we see doing the ropes around the seals and the turtles when they're snoozing or sitting on the shorelines?
Yes, for the monk seals, not for the sea turtles. Huh? That is a different organization for the sea turtles. But yes, we do create seal resting areas around monk seals in areas where we think that they're needed because there's a lot of people on the beach. Monk seals have a tendency to look like large rocks, and sometimes if we don't put up an area around them, people will trip over them. Also, unless we're there to do outreach about how close you should or shouldn't get to these animals, sometimes people will want to, you know, hug or pet or take selfies with the animals, and we have to remind people that they are wild animals, and we don't recommend that.
Who is, just for my own records, who are the people who do the turtles?
That is Malamana Honu, and they do turtle outreach exclusively on Laniakea Beach up on the North Shore. We do work sometimes in partnership with them, but for the most part, it's a separate organization.
Okay.
And they will put up their red rope around the turtles.
Laniakea?
Laniakea.
Okay.
And they'll put a rope around the turtles up there. We don't respond on the beach to turtles that are just doing what they normally do.
Right, because when they're doing that, they're just hanging out.
They're just hanging out, snoozing or resting.
But the seals, while they might be snoozing or resting, it's because of their endangered status that you guys make sure they get, and because of those other reasons you said that you kind of rope them off?
Yes, exactly. The Hawaiian monk seal is one of the most endangered marine mammals in the world, and we're so lucky to have them here in Hawaii, but we only have around 300 in the main Hawaiian islands, and only 30 to 40 that live in and around Oahu. So we want to make sure that our residents are, you know, knowledgeable about them, and our tourists are knowledgeable, and everybody's taking care of them.
So when it comes to things that folks can get involved in, I was checking it out, and you have a number of volunteer programs this year, and we're going to go through some of these, and you can explain what you'd like about them in terms of outreach to people who are listening who may want to get involved. Field response for injured, sick, or entangled seals, turtles, or birds.
Yes, correct. That is one of our programs that people really enjoy because they get to directly help the animals. A lot of people I meet in Hawaii have some very direct connection to the ocean. They love to paddle out to the mokes, or they love to scuba dive or kite surf. And volunteering with us really gives these people an opportunity, they tell me, to give back to this ocean ecosystem that has given them so much.
And so what's involved? What's the time commitment, or what would someone need to know about getting involved with doing that?
So all the requirements should be on our website, and they can go to our website to apply as well. And once they apply, they'll go to a volunteer orientation. It's a two-hour class that teaches them kind of all about the basics. And if they're still interested in participating, then they can start to sign up for we'll train you fully in the field, and then they can start to sign up for four-hour shifts where they're on call for a certain activity. And if they're on call for field response and we get a call from a member of the public or from one of our partner organizations that there's an animal in distress in the field, then we will dispatch one of our volunteers, whoever has said that they are available during that time, and they will go out to the animal, whether it's a seal or a turtle or a seabird. They'll assess the situation, determine if an intervention or escalation is necessary, and then we will either support them with additional people in the field. If it's a monk seal, NOAA will join us in the field. If it's a sea turtle and our volunteer has a truck, then we will help them transport the sea turtle to NOAA for medical attention. If it's a seabird and it has, say, a broken wing or is entangled or is just downed because it's got confused from lighting, artificial lights, then that volunteer can then transport the animal to get the necessary medical treatment.
Wow, it's very hands-on. This is really something for people who love animals, who want to make what do they call that on the Sea Shepherd thing, a direct...
Direct impact?
Direct impact.
Yes, exactly.
Right. It's kind of like you'd be your own local Hawaii Sea Shepherd kind of person on shore. We mentioned them. They're not critically endangered, but they're endangered, the monk seals, right? They're not, I would think 1,400 of them to me would sound like that's critically, but technically the IUCN calls them just endangered.
I believe so, but I would have to double check on that.
Okay. So in any event, monk seal pup monitoring, clearly something that people would enjoy who are fans of the monk seals. And pup season is in the summertime. Talk about the monk seal pup monitoring.
And oh my gosh.
What's involved with
who
that?
Who doesn't love a baby anything, right? and a baby monk seal. A monk seal pup is so cute. They come out tiny and they put on pounds fast. They are nursing on the beach wherever mom decides that she wants to have her pup. They end up staying there for up to 6 weeks until that pup weans. And so if we're lucky, it's a beach that's remote and far away from humans. That's the best case scenario. But oftentimes, our monk seal moms decide to have their pups on very busy beaches, like down in Waikiki. And when they do that, there's a lot of people, which is both challenging but also a great opportunity for outreach. We can reach so many people, both locals who live in the Waikiki area and tourists. So we can really spread the word about these animals and what they need.
And so that's a similar thing. You go to your website, h-mar.org, and people who are interested can sign up that way.
Yes, exactly.
And is that a similar four-hour, how are the shifts broken up?
They're usually 4 hours per shift, and we do 3 shifts per day.
And that is, they don't get looked at in the middle of the night, or do they?
No, they usually don't, because most people have left, and they usually just are resting and fine.
But when it came to Kaimana and Rocky, was she observed? Were they looked after 24 hours? Or?
You know, I'm not familiar. I'm not aware if we were doing overnight. I know there was a live stream camera, but I don't know if there was any lighting.
Yeah, the camera wasn't 24/7. I was just curious if people kept an eye on them there, and because that was one of those things on the very last day that the animals were the first day that Kaimana was alone, and I believe it was a Friday, and her mom, Rocky, had swam away, and she swam around for a while in the water, and then she came up on the beach, and it was her first time that she was alone, and we had already. In the media, we had already told people what Noah had said, which is when they separate, which will be around 40 days or so, we're going to haul Kaimana out of there because it's not appropriate for her to be there. And so that very first day, she came back from her swim without mom, and it was the mid-afternoon. I want to say it was in around the 3 o'clock hour because I was getting ready to go on the second, all things considered. And I was watching the stream. And I'll never forget it because she hauled out of the water. And as you face the ocean on Kaimana Beach, she was all the way up on the right next to the natatorium. And she came up out of the water and she sat there. And nobody would move. And there were all these people. And there was some guy with all these tattoos and a lawn chair. And the volunteers from, I guess, your organization pleading with them. And I will never forget the guy says, "People, this is an endangered animal. And its mother has just left. Can you not please move out? Can't you see she wants to get on the beach?" And the camera's on her as you're hearing this. And she's just, and the look on her face said everything the guy just said. And people were so slow. And your representative was so flustered and desperate to get people to move. And in that several minutes, it was so apparent to me why she was going to be moved. And you immediately, it was all of the reasoning that Noah was like, "Trust us, she shouldn't stay here because not every person is going to treat her with the basic level of dignity or respect." So it really, it was clear to me how unfortunate it would be if she stayed there. It would have been magical for us, but it's hard to believe people are that, that there are people who are that clueless that need that sort of reminder. This is like a little baby creature. Can you not get out of the way and find somewhere else to sit so this little endangered animal can come out of the water?
Yeah, we have a lot of monk seals who have no problem with humans. They will just, you know, they're 600 pounds of get out of the way. And I don't care. I will come lay on your beach towel. You can move or not. That's fine, you know. But those are full-grown adults, right? We worry less about them than we do about a new, freshly weaned pup, right? When a pup weans from its mother, it's highly impressionable. And if the next thing it sees is a human, it might try to, you know, latch on emotionally to that human, and that can become very dangerous, right? You see pups on the beach when they've weaned from their moms and they're playing with, you know, a rock or a sea turtle, or they're trying to engage other things, you know, and build relationships. When they do that with humans, that can be very dangerous as they start to get older, because then they can try to play with us. They think that they are one of us, you know, and that's not good for us, because monk seals can hold their breath for around 20 minutes and we can't. So we definitely don't want them to pull us underwater and think that it's time to play. Right. So we want to continue to treat them like a wild animal.
Yeah, and not every person they're going to potentially run into is going to be so nice to them either when they come out. So no, I was very proud to see you guys there, and even more happy the next morning when they hauled her out of there, because I was like, boy, they must have been watching this thing too and going, "Mike, where's our truck? Let's go get our seal now."
Yep.
There's also outreach and education events that you guys do at community gatherings. I know you're going to be, you told me, at the... that this is going to air after that. I know you guys were at the pancakes for pangolins party that Wild Aloha Foundation did, and you show up at different places to try to get the word out. And this is another chance, I guess, for a volunteer who wants to do a different role with your organization.
Exactly. And we have some volunteers who only do education and outreach, and we have some volunteers who, you know, dabble in all of our different programs. So our education and outreach programs are great. You don't have to be in the field. You don't have to be on call. You can sign up for scheduled community events at different locations around the island, and you can really just spread the word and man a booth, say, for a few hours. And, you know, some of the events are children's events. Some of the events are giving presentations at local schools, etc.
And you said island. Are you guys statewide, or is this just on Oahu?
Currently, we are based on Oahu. We operate our services and some of our programs on Oahu and Molokai. But currently, most of our programs operate in Molokai. Most of our programs operate on Oahu only.
Okay, well, that's good to know. Are there partner agencies that do what you do on those other islands? I guess what I'm asking is, for example, when a seal needs ropes around it or whatever, who does that there?
On other islands, NOAA is present on those islands as well, and they work with other volunteer groups or organizations on those specific islands.
Okay, that's cool. Green sea turtle nest surveys and monitoring, another summertime activity for people who love the honu.
Yes, this is a new program that we are kicking off in 2019. And that will start this summer. We will be looking for, and we will be doing surveys for green sea turtle nests and monitoring them over time.
And a similar kind of thing, a number of hours someone would commit to per week or something to be one of the volunteers, or how would it work?
Yes, basically when you sign up to be a volunteer, you choose to be a part of one of our programs. You can either be a part of one of our animal programs, like the monk seal program or the turtle program or the bird program, or you can be a part of many of these programs. There's also the education and outreach, and we also have a dispatch program that you can join, where you just are the hotline operator for our dispatch program. So you receive all of the phone calls that come into our hotline. So if you wanted to sign up for the sea turtle program, you could then do field response or nesting surveys, or you could actually do another program that we are kicking off, which is underwater cleanups. So a lot of the problems that we see with sea turtles, they get entangled. Same with, you know, monk seals and seabirds. They get entangled in nets and fishing line and other types of debris. So we are starting a new project soon where if you have the right certifications as a scuba diver, you can participate in these underwater cleanups where we're going to try to remove a lot of these entanglement hazards.
And then you mentioned birds, and certainly lots of folks love birds. Laison albatrosses would be one of those kinds of birds. Nest and chick monitoring, which is going on through July. Talk about that.
Yes, the albatross are so beautiful. They're such an amazing species. 99% of Laison albatrosses live in the northwestern Hawaiian Islands, and we're so lucky that we have a colony here on Oahu. We are even more lucky because we have a brand new colony that is starting to get established in the Turtle Bay area on the North Shore. So 2 months ago, Fish and Wildlife and North Shore Community Land Trust came to us and said, we have this new budding albatross colony, and this is such an important species. We really need to make sure that it's successful. So can you please provide volunteer support? And we said, of course, you know. So just like there are some people who are very passionate about monk seals and very passionate about sea turtles, there's a large group of people who love seabirds. And were very excited to sign up as brand new volunteers with us just so that they could be a part of the albatross nesting monitoring that we're doing. So we have a new colony, and we actually had 2 chicks hatch this week. So we're so excited. We just posted pictures of those little baby chicks. And monitoring of the nests will continue through July when the chicks fledge. And they, if you've never seen an albatross chick, I highly recommend either hiking out to Kaina Point or signing up to be a volunteer with us on the North Shore, because they are some of the cutest little birds.
No, they are adorable. And even the older ones, like Wisdom, the oldest known wild bird in the world, and lives right in our state, basically, in the upper northwest part of it, and has been tagged continuously by researchers and thankfully protected and lived all these years since before Hawaii was even a state. It's hard to imagine, but it's true. And she's a cutie. So what has been done on the note of these Laysan albatross? What's been done to increase the security for the birds after, people may or may not remember, I'm assuming they do, a group of area teenagers and young adults brutally tortured and murdered more than a dozen of these nesting birds on Oahu, north of Honolulu, killed numerous birds that were babies, too, in eggs that their mothers were trying to protect. What's been done to kind of to prevent that from happening again?
So, unfortunately, I can't speak directly to the protection and enforcement of the colonies up at Kaina Point. That's going to be handled by Department of Land and Natural Resources, and Fish and Wildlife Service are dealing with that. But I do know that what we do for the albatross nests on the Turtle Bay area, in the Turtle Bay area, is we provide, we provide volunteers pretty much all day long to monitor these nests and to do outreach to the public as they walk through the areas. So making sure that people, don't go too close, don't disturb them, because if the albatross parents are disturbed, they may leave the nest, and that could be bad news for the chick. There are lots of feral cats and mongoose in the area, and so our partners that we're working with are doing some predator control with those species to make sure. Unfortunately, the albatross need a long runway to take off and land, so putting up fencing around that particular colony is challenging. But hopefully, if the colony is successful and starts to grow, we may start to look at that. What does that look like to put some sort of protection around these animals?
And they have cameras and stuff at night to keep an eye on them, or?
I don't believe that they currently have cameras set up yet, and I don't know if they're looking at that, but definitely something to check into.
Yeah, I hope they can keep them secure, because it would, if there's a repeat of one of those incidents, it would be just ghastly.
It's really challenging, because you want to protect the animals, but at the same time, you want to open up access for people to enjoy them,
right,
and to learn about them. So it's challenging.
Yeah, no question it is. Thankfully, there's a lot of those birds, too, though. You watch any videos of Midway Island, you're like, whoa, I don't even know if I can walk around. There's so many birds.
Definitely.
Where's my magic carpet? It could really help it right here. Are there any specific skills or supplies that you guys could use that somebody listening might have access to as a volunteer organization, whether it's just, could be someone who has a veterinary background, let's say, or has worked with animals, or maybe it's somebody who's been in law enforcement or whatever. And I mean, so there's lots of people who might have a skill, or there could be some heavy duty amount of supplies that you need that either they have access to by way of their where they work, or maybe they could make a significant donation and purchase something that you're really lacking.
Yes, definitely. In terms of our volunteers and the special skills and backgrounds, we have volunteers from tons of different backgrounds. A lot of our volunteers are retired. A lot of our volunteers are in college. Some have medical backgrounds. Some have legal degrees. It's really a wide variety, and we tend to benefit from having
all of it.
Yeah, from all of it, exactly. In terms of things, resources that we could use, we are always looking for, I mean, cash donations are hugely appreciated. We can always find a use for that. For our field response programs, we can't help these animals unless we can get to them. So having reliable vehicles, having our response trucks fueled up and ready to go, hugely important. So a lot of times people like to donate gas cards. We really appreciate that. Those go to our staff and our volunteers. We also are trying to increase our fleet of response trucks as we continue to grow, add more species, add more programs that we're doing. We need to be able to get there and help these animals. And a giant sea turtle does not fit in the back of my hatchback, let me tell you. So you can donate a used vehicle, or if, you know, a lot of people have relationships with organizations, or if you're a company and you'd like to be one of our corporate sponsors, we have a program for that.
That's the community and business partnerships?
Yes, exactly. And we're also looking for land right now. We are 100% mobile as an organization, and we're really looking for a place where that we can call home and have community and education and outreach programs in-house. We're also looking for land just for storage facilities and someplace where we can drop a storage unit or a storage or just like a shipping container, drop a shipping container on a piece of land. So, you know, if you happen to have an empty lot out in Waimanalo, give us a call. We could really use it. And all of these donations are fully tax deductible.
So that's land, that's vehicles, maintenance of vehicles, and gas are the primary ones I'm hearing.
Yeah.
So there's lots of ways people can help on that. HTA Marine Animal Stewards Program.
Yes. So we also have a program if you operate a tourism company of any kind, or maybe you're just a tour guide yourself, or you offer hiking or scuba or snorkeling expeditions, or you rent kayaks, you can sign up to be a steward of HMAR, and we'll come and give a presentation to your employees, and then we'll give you some marketing materials that you can use to show your customers that you care about the conservation of these marine species.
People can get internships with you guys too, if that's something. There's a whole group of people that sort of need to do those.
Yes, definitely. A lot of universities are requiring internships from their students, and we have lots of universities require internships from their students, and we frequently have interns working with us. It's a four-month internship. I don't know if it's a four-month or three-month internship. We offer a 3 to 4 month internship, and you can find details about that on our website as well.
And in addition to that, there's a, because a lot of people who love animals around the world, people who are looking after them offer programs where you can sponsor or adopt animals. And so people can adopt specific monk seals, it says, at your website.
Yes, you can. People like to do this because it attaches them to a specific individual in the population.
And so that means like Rocky and Caimana are up for adoption, or I mean, can more than one, I've got to believe both of them have already been adopted.
Yes, multiple people can adopt the same monk seal. These monk seals are highly endangered and they can use all the support they can get.
So are both of them multiply adopted?
Probably. I'd have to look into the details of that, but I'm sure, yeah, call us up. If you tell us who you want to adopt, we'll make it happen.
And that means what they get. Does that mean, like, does Rocky get extra special love because she's got all this extra adoption, or do you guys try to not turn her into the super princess?
We try not to show favorites, but definitely if you live in the Waikiki area, you know Rocky is a diva and she loves to make an appearance and get fawned over. So,
and is it you guys who name them, or is that somebody else who gives them these colorful names?
Well, so now we are actually working with local immersion schools, and the Keiki are naming them, which is great. So we just had a few monk seal pups from last year received names just this past month. So you can go on to our Facebook page and read all about the names that they chose and the reasons why they chose them.
And can people, if they're sponsoring, can people pay to, that could be a way to lure even more money. You know, maybe you put that in your hat for next time.
Oh,
like people could, you know, for a large amount of money, people could name one of the naming rights for a seal. Because I was just thinking, I wonder if there's any way that Rocky's next child could possibly be named Bullwinkle.
Or Dave.
Rocky and Dave.
Name it after you.
I think Bullwinkle is just so cool, though. Are you too young to remember that?
You
remember?
No, I'm definitely not.
You know what
not
I'm talking about?
Yes, okay. Rocky and Bullwinkle.
You're looking at me funny. I'm thinking, my God, am I that ancient?
No, not at all.
Know what I'm saying here. But it would just be so cool for, but although they don't stay together, so it would be a very fast novelty, huh? With the seals, because it's about 40 days or so.
Yeah.
Any other ways that folks can support you guys before I give your contact information, or any other message you want to get out there regarding people being considerate to the animals, or just anything from your side of this?
Well, like you said about the albatross, even just that one individual albatross has been here longer than many of us have. Mm. And when you think about the animals in Hawaii, they really deserve our respect. And we need to show them aloha. And I think that's the best message that we can give.
If you would like to support the Hawaii Marine Animal Response, they have a website where you can learn more. It's h-mar.org. So that's h-mar.org. To report a marine animal in distress, call 1-888-256-9840. You can give them a buzz, 687-7900. They can be emailed at info@h-mar.org. You can find them on social media places like Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. Best of all, you can find the full interview, the radio feature, all their contact information, and all of our previous Helping Hand guests at hawaiipublicradio.org. We've been thrilled today to be talking about animals and doing it with Whitney Beer Kerr, who is Development Manager at the Hawaii Marine Animal Response, an organization that you often see in the community in the Honolulu area. And as we said, sort of introducing you, the animals can't get on the air and ask for help themselves, and they certainly can't get on the air and thank you. So on behalf of all the creatures that, and sometimes I've seen it in person and seen videos and stuff, and it's just so inspiring to help these extremely vulnerable, innocent creatures, and you guys do great work. So on behalf of all the critters that you've helped out, thanks for doing what you're doing. It's inspiring, and I'm sure many, many, many people who listen would like to thank you guys too.
Thank you very much for having us. Thank you for having this show. Appreciate it.